So we will try to review just a little bit to get us in context. Last week, who do we talk to, men or women?
Men.
And we talked about that. And last week, and by the way, isn't it amazing, a familiar passage like this in Ephesians 5, where there is so much in the Scriptures that you can see a whole different part of that passage and how important it is that we emphasize, you know, a totally different area than just many times teaching the family is wives submit yourself to your husbands, husband loves your wives, da 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 da. And but it's, there's a lot in there. The comparison between Christ and the church, and so Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it. Why did he do that? In this passage, why did he give himself for it, and why did he? What was he trying to do to the church? Yes, Charlie, go ahead.
He wants to make the church glorious one and present the
church. That's right. He wanted to make a glorious church to present to himself. All right. So a man is supposed to impact his wife, make her amazing, and then give himself a nice gift. That's what he's supposed to do. Now, we said that weak people and people who do not have greatness in them, they take people where they are and just criticize them where they are because they do not have the ability to influence. Influence is one of the most precious things in all of life you could ever have, and very few people have any influence. So a husband is supposed to influence his wife. What is the main tool of influence for his wife? How's he supposed to influence her? Somebody besides Charlie. Who said love first? I heard somebody else. All right. And love. He's supposed to love his wife. And if he loves her, he gets to influence her. When I was a teenager, one of the statements I just coined when I was learning to influence people as a teenager was, he who loves the most wins. And you get to influence because you love people. And I don't know how many times. It's part of the lesson, but loving. And let's go back to Ephesians 5 and read this a little bit here. So Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as also Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So, in the same way, ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. There's the second time he said, love your wives. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord his church. For we are members of his body, and his flesh, and of his bones. For which cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in so particular love his wife, or in particular so love his wife, even as himself. That's the third time. And see that the wife reverence her husband. Let me just see if I... It's not in the passage here, but it's not in what I'm teaching here, but let me just... there we go. So this Titus chapter 2 and verse 4 says this. And it says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. So the older women are supposed to teach the younger women to love their husbands. So there we have husbands love your wives. Now we have wives love your husbands. And so we have both ways. Husband, love your wives. Wife, love your husbands. And so, ladies, you must have been praying this week, because we're not gonna do the ladies this week. So we told you we'd get you this week, so don't be too amen last week. But actually, we're going to be talking about how to love enough to influence. And let's go ahead and bow for prayer, and we'll talk about that. Lord, thank you for the word today, and thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray that thy spirit would help us in a powerful way. Lord, help us to have a lesson that's so powerful that we can have the power of influence on people. And I pray you'd work in a supernatural way. I pray you'd help them. I pray that you'd help us just to have the powerful anointed love, and show us how to influence people by love. And we just pray for your Spirit to do it, because He is the one who gives us that fruit of the Spirit of love, and we need to have that influence with that. And help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, I have a lot of stuff here about love. Husbands are supposed to love their wives. Wives are supposed to love their husband. We get the power of influence through loving people. When somebody will call me and say, I'm having problems with my teenager and I cannot do anything with them, what will regularly happen, almost every time will happen, is I will go there and the parent will immediately begin to berate the child in front of me. People who have not found the power of influence, the only thing they do is get revenge by berating. Okay, that's what they do. And lecturing and telling everybody how bad their husband or wife is, or their child is. Why? Because they do not know what to do because they have no influence, and they think berating will make them eventually come over. Either maybe you're young and haven't watched very much, or maybe you're old and haven't watched very much, or maybe you haven't think about what works with you, but it does not work. Okay? And it might make you feel better. It does make you feel better. Yeah, he's so stinking lazy, he didn't get up till noon. He'd tell him every single day, I didn't raise you like that. And he's going, okay, Mom, since you're berating me in front of people, I'm going to be good now. No, that's not what happens. And so I'll just say, stop. Johnny, can I take you out to, let's go get some ice cream and let's talk for a while. And by the way, I'll take him to ice cream on purpose. Or I'll say, where's your favorite place to eat? Why do I do that? Because I want to eat. No, the reason I do that is simply because I'm going to start getting his heart. My son, give me that heart. I'm going to, and so there's a bunch of things you can do to do that. But today I want to talk about how you influence somebody through love. Because you'll say, well, I love my kids. They just don't do anything I say. Or I love my wife. She's just pathetic. Okay. And you might love her, but you might not be doing everything wisely. And so you got to love in such a way. Love transforms. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Greatness in leadership is the one who loves first, not the one who returns the love. Okay? We love him because he first loved us. Let's go to 1 John because we're going to look at a lot of things. 1 John, and let's look at chapter 4. So we're going to want to get influence. Well, you say, well, I love them and I'm not influencing them. Well, that's what the lesson's about today, is how to love in such a way where you will have the love known and influence them and make a difference in them. And so you can impact them. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, some guy says, you know what, I know you're struggling financially, let me go, and you know what I'm going to do, I'm going to pay off your car, pay off your house, I'm going to give you $10,000 for to just have a break from all your financial troubles. I say, wow, man, you're a blessing. And so I go out, and I say, I appreciate that man so much, you know what, I'm going to go buy him a watch with his name engraved on it. Now, is it good and nice that I did something for him? Yeah, but really I'm spending the money he gave me, okay? And it's good that I do that and I should do that, but he loved first, he gave first, and so I'm just returning it. And so, well, if she would just do this, I'd love her. No. We love him because he first loved us. Greatness is the one who can love when they haven't done anything for you. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God is not, God says, let me influence you. You'll love me because I love you first. So the one who can say, they're not doing very well, they're not right now, they aren't doing anything good, but I'm going to love them anyway. That's where the greatness comes from, and that's where influence comes. Why? Because when you win them over with your love, and by the way, sometimes I've loved somebody and we're in this distrustful, wounded love society where people don't believe people's love. So I found many times I have loved somebody, and I'm talking general, a new convert, some man in the church, some whoever. and I love them, and immediately what they do is they push my love to see if it's real because they don't believe me. And so we know what they'll do? Because I show them love, immediately they'll be nasty to me. Because they want to see if they're really loved. They want to know that they would love to be loved, but they don't know if they're loved. Because somebody else said they loved them and betrayed them. And so immediately harshness comes in. And pushing and disappointment comes in. They disappoint you and try your love. They say, I don't really believe you this time. By the way, you'll experience that when you begin to love somebody who's not loving you back and you want to influence them. You'll run into a trial of your love in many, many situations. Now, hopefully they don't do that. Hopefully it's a good person who loves you too, and they'll say, boy, I love you even more because how good you've been. But many times your love gets tried. I had somebody trying my love last night at 11:45 at night. And everything in what they were communicating with me was screaming, I want to see if you still love me. Okay, nobody in my family, but it was somebody's in a lot of trouble and somebody who needs influence. And so, listen, love has to love first. If you had to earn God's love, you would never be loved by God. Okay. If you had to earn your love by God, I would never be loved by God. Amen? So because greatness loves first. Greatness doesn't say, well, they're just not doing this for me. They're not doing this for me. You don't even know what love is. God loves unconditionally. Okay? And so, I'm going to get ahead of myself here. Greatness in leadership is the one who loves first, not the one who returns the love. Now, if they're already loving you, you can return the love, and that's great. But understand, if you have the opportunity to be great if you can love when they aren't loving or being good or don't deserve it. Instead of being the petty, weak people who say, well, they're not going to do this for me. I'm not going to do it for them. Okay, you can do that, and that's what the world does, but that's not what God does. God loves first because he wants to influence. He wants to save. He wants to transform. And so that's the way God does this. And so you've got to go out and get that first love. You've got to go out there and love people in order to impact them. Because those people who try my love and people who try people's love, we get to influence them because we keep loving. Not because they're perfect, because they deserve love. I don't love people because they deserve love. I love people because God is love and he loved me when I wasn't very lovable, which is every day of my life. Which is all the time. I don't deserve God's love. So how do we get a love that impacts? Number one, get the Lord's love. Get the Lord's love. 1 John chapter 4. So, you know, we're talking about family, but what I'm teaching you is a general principle that every one of us can use. Because how to love in such a powerful way that you get to impact people, that your love overcomes their bitterness, their failures or whatever, and where you don't have to be the person who berates because you can't influence them, you get to influence them, and then you take them to a great place. Okay? For 1 John, you get the Lord's love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. So, it says, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. See, when you're born of God, you get love. Why? Because God is love. You get God, and God is love, so you get love for people. Okay? In other words, the closer you get to God, the more you get of God, the more you automatically get love. They're the same. God is love. The more you get God in your life, the more you automatically love. And as you get closer to God, you will not say, I'm going to make myself love. You will get close to God and say, boy, I'm starting to love. Why? Because you get it from God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. When you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, love is a fruit. It automatically appears. In other words, you've got to get God's love. You do not have unconditional love in your human nature. Okay, it is not in us to love unconditionally. It is in us that when someone's nasty to us, to get revenge and get back at them. If you want to love God's way, which is unconditional, God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You've got to get to God, and when you get close to God, when you rub against God, you start getting the smell of God, which is the love of God. You get God's love in you. In other words, you begin to love like God loves, because you get God's love. But it's not going to be because you force yourself. If you just say, I'm going to love them no matter how nasty they are, good luck. It's got to be a supernatural love. It's got to be something that God gives. Only God can give that kind of love. So first of all, I just want to say you have to get the love of God. The best way is to pass that on. Jesus said in John 15, verse 9, he says, as a father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. What does that mean? What I said earlier, I don't deserve the love of God. God loves me when I'm not lovable. And so why can't I love somebody else when they're not lovable? In other words, I'm passing on what was given to me. God gave me unconditional love. I will pass on that unconditional love. It's like someone comes up to you and says, I have unlimited money. I'm going to give you unlimited money, but I want you to give a bunch of it away. And as much as you want to give away, I can give you. But you say, no, I like it. I'm going to keep it for myself. And the money quits flowing in. God comes to us. He hands us his love, which is unconditional. He says, as I've loved you, now go love somebody else. How did he love us? While we were yet sinners. So we're supposed to pass on the love of God. God gives us his love. So if you want to love, I want to say from the very start, if you don't get close to God and you do not get God's love in you, you will not be able to love the way God loves, which is unconditional. You will have the world's conditional love. The Bible word, the Greek word for it is phileo. That's the natural human fondness love that is returned. God's love is unconditional. It's agape is the Greek word. It's a totally different word for love. And so we've got to get that love. And so we pass on God's love. Number two, love needs to be shown. It is not enough to have the presence of love. Love is to be shown. The Bible says it beautifully in Romans 5:8, which you've quoted about five times already. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Commended, the word means, it means demonstrated and displayed. The word is almost a word where it means you set up a display. Here, look at this. God displayed and demonstrated his love toward us. Okay? God shows love. God shows his love, and this is so key. People knew God loved. People knew Jesus loved. Let me take you back to the book of John. Keep your finger in 1 John. We'll be there a little bit more. But the book of John and chapter 11. And by the way, I want to say this. You do not have to compromise and be afraid to say hard things when you love people. I love them. I just can't say that to them. No, speaking the truth in love. I'm going to be in John 11. Tonight I'll preach very hard. But no one in our church will be offended. And one of the reasons is because they know I love them. Another reason, they love hard preaching and love the truth. But because when you know somebody loves you, you know that grandma who always loved you and was always kind and always nice to you and always loved you and hugged you and gave you cookies and everything. That grandma could one day say to you, you need to stop doing that. And you wouldn't hate your grandma. But other people would say, you need to stop doing that. You'd hate them. Why? Because love gives you, in other words, you don't have to compromise. You don't have to say, I love, so I'm not going to say anything when someone's doing something. No. If you love somebody, you warn them or they're going to destroy themselves. Okay? But love needs to be known and showed and displayed. Look at John chapter 11. In verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Do you think they knew Jesus loved? The bystander said, wow, did he ever love him? Love of God is known. John 13:35, herein shall all men know that ye are my disciples and that ye have love one for another. How is the world supposed to know we're Christians? Because the world sees how much we love each other. Now, back to beating up the men for a minute here. Men do not say what men say. She knows I love her. They know I love them. love is expressed and shown and verbalized. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And so we see that love should be expressed and known. Okay? Very important we get that. You loving them is not enough. It must be expressed and shown. That includes men like me. Why do you say that, men like you? Because I grew up in an unexpressive, harsh home where you didn't say I love you and where you didn't hug, you didn't express any emotion. You never displayed weakness in my house. My house was survival of the fittest. It was brutal. And if you got mushy, you'd be mocked. And that's how I grew up. And my whole life, I've been poker face guy. Nobody ever knows what I'm thinking. Okay? I get in front of a crowd and I express myself, but my general response is, oh, look, I cut my arm off. I better go to the hospital. People don't believe me when I tell them stuff because I don't say things expressively. That's just me. I'm not an expressive person. And it's my very disposition is calmness, stability, not expressiveness, not too excited, not too down. You won't know when I'm depressed. You won't know when I'm happy. I'm just kind of, these emotions down here are pretty strong, but they just don't get up here. They get kind of stuck somewhere between, okay? That's me, and I grew up that way. And when Christians started telling me they loved me, I was like, yeah, thanks. When I got to be a better Christian, I'd say, you do. And you too. because it was hard for me. But you know what? I started getting more and more love, and pretty soon that love kind of pushes its way out. Now, here's the problem I have, and my wife has helped me a lot with this, is I'm Mr. Practical. If you go up and say to me, Pastor, my car is broke down, and I don't know what to do. I can't pay my bills. I don't know what to do. And I can't get to work tomorrow. What's your car doing? I don't know. I turn it over. It goes, rrr, rrr. I said, well, you know what? Let me go check it. It might be the alternator. It might be the battery. Let me go out. Now, that's me. I'm on a mission all the time. Everything I do, I'm on a mission. What? Okay. Let me deal with that. I want to deal with things. That's just me. I'll fix a problem. My finances have fallen apart. I don't know what to do. All right, how much you make a month? Let me figure this out here. And how much? What's your budget? And what's this? That's just me. I'm just practical. I just want to fix things. And I'm a fixer. I just fix things. I have learned that not everybody wants me to fix things. It's about half of the human race called females. And you men are going, yeah, man, that's awesome. You just fix things for people and you just figure it out. Yeah, that's me. You men like it. Women? Don't you understand? I just said, my car's not started. I can't get to work tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to fix it. But I don't know what to do. We fix your car. You know, get it started, then you can go to work tomorrow. You don't care. Well, I'm fixing your car. And why? Because we men don't show emotions right. Because I am grew up in a harsh home and to me I'm saying, man, I'll help you. I'll help you get your finances fixed. I'll help you fix it. I can tell you how to fix your kid. I can tell you how to fix your finances. Let me fix it for you. I'm practical. But I've learned many times they just want you to. I have 5 daughters. And I've got the solutions for them. That boy said, what to you? Here, I'll go beat him up. That's a solution. But I got a solution for you. But many times they just want you to listen and care. All the women nod. All the men say, why? Because everybody needs to find love from people, and they don't always all speak the same language of love. And you have to learn that everybody needs it expressed somehow. Now, some guys that walk up, punch an arm, hey, man, how you doing? Like, hey, man, he likes me. Because men are weird. Okay? They're weird. Not all men are like that. Especially in Seattle. No, you hit me. Oh, owie. But we express ourselves, and they've got to know it. Just because you feel it doesn't mean they know it. And if they don't know it, they won't return it because they don't know it. So you don't get to influence them. So you got to find out how. Well, and so I've been working on this so hard in my own life, is just expressing love in many different ways. Writing a note, listen to people. The Bible says, weep with those who weep. You've got to let them know that. And by the way, can I say, ladies, I'll just pick on you a little bit this week, okay? Ladies, men are very physical. And I know we got people who aren't married and teenagers and everything else here. A lot of the way they want you to express their love is physically. I know you don't understand that, but we don't understand, I fixed your car. I love you. So you don't understand that. We're wired different, okay? They're both wired wonderfully and great. You have to understand. You have to understand the other one wants that. You must show it in the way they understand it. Not necessarily the way they want it. Okay? I tell you that. Somebody will try to use you and say, if you love me, you give me that money. I already gave you money. You blew it. Sorry. Not going to give any more. Not the way they want, not the way they say they'll understand it, but in a way that you know they'll understand it. Okay? You've got to express it so they'll know it. People have to know it. See their... Now, let me take it first, John, again. I got a lot here. I want to say this also. Now, since we're talking about being big people and being great people and people who have the power to influence, this is... I want you to get this. Be big enough not only to express it the way that they like to hear it. So your wife says, I want you to tell me I love you. Well, you know I told you that and I haven't changed any. No, I love you, honey. And you say it 20 times a day if she needs to hear it, because that's what she needs. Okay? But also be big enough where you can look at the other person who might not be perfectly expressing their love and say, you know what? They're trying to tell me they love me in their own way. He goes to work every single day because he loves us kids. I know Dad might not say it a whole bunch, but he loves us. See, he is saying it. And he comes over and says, what do you mean I don't love you? I go to work every single day. He says, that isn't saying I love you. It is. Okay? It's just maybe not the way you'd say it. You have to understand each other. Okay, and be big enough to say, just because he's not expressing or she's not expressing the way I want doesn't mean she doesn't love me. I think they're trying. You know, I'm gonna praise them for trying, because they're trying to say it. It's kind of awkward, kind of clunky, but you know what? If you praise them for what they do, you'll find they'll try harder and they'll figure it out. If you criticize them for what they don't do, you'll find out they quit trying and they'll never get it right. Amen. It's good stuff, preacher. And I like expressing to myself when I like my messages. And so number two, love needs to be shown, expressed. Say it. And you'll be awkward at first, too, by the way, just like I was. All right, let me try again. Okay, I'm going to do it. I love you. Oh, man, I feel so stupid. It gets easier, but you got to force yourself to do it. I was laughing when I was in Haiti. Haitians, whatever reason, I don't understand the logic of it, when they take a picture, they think it's very handsome, but they do not smile, and if they frown, it's really good looking. And so I'm getting a picture with these pastors, and here's this 15 pastors in a row that we helped, and the church did. And so let's get a picture of you with each one of them. So I'm up there, and they're like, and so I always poke at them. I said, you hate me that bad? Translated. Oh, no. And they get this big smile. And these huge smiles. I say, smile. And they're like, okay. Camera's about to go off. And listen, express yourself. Don't be afraid to express yourself. Next, number three, give yourself to them. Give yourself to them. Ephesians 5. I knew we'd be in trouble today for time. Ephesians 5. Well, it's just not what I'm like, just not the family I grew up in. All right, we'll fix it. If your family grew up poor and did drugs, are you going to say, well, I just grew up in a family poor and did drugs, so I'm going to be poor and do drugs the rest of my life? mean, why would you take the bad characteristics of your family and claim them? Or I just didn't grow up in an affectionate family. Oh, I'm sorry about that. It's going to be a little harder for you, but you're going to have to figure it out. I'm so tired of people saying, I grew up like this. It's just not the way I am. Well, thank you for confessing your sin. Now, how are we going to fix it? Because you're not condemned to continue the bad family you grew up in. What? Your dad beat your wife, your wife, your mom? And so you say, well, I just grew up in a family where a husband beat the wife. Come here, honey. You don't have to continue the bad stuff, right? Don't claim it. Say, you know what? I grew up in an affectionate family. I'm going to have to work harder, but I'm going to do it. And that's what I had to do. And I have no problem now expressing my love because God got God's love and worked on it. Next, give yourself for them, Ephesians 5 and verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Giving yourself for them, it means you be a blessing to them. You sacrifice for them. You look to do what meets their needs. You say, what do they want? You know why? There's so many things. There's so many symptoms of the selfishness of our society. We so often now you have to separate everything in a family because they're so self-centered they can't share anything. You have to buy two cars, two big screens, two computers, two this, two that. I mean, if they walk in the door at the same time, it's a race to the remote. Because who's going to control what they watch? Because it's not, what would you like to do? It's, what? I want to do this. It's all, give yourself for them. You know, when you're unselfish and you do what other people want and are a blessing to them, not talking about enabling them, but I mean, you're a blessing and say, no, if you want, you know what? You want to go to Mexican? That sounds great. Now, you might not like Mexican food, but go there and order a hamburger because they'll be happy. Well, it's about me. And that's the problem with our society. That's godlessness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So you learn to give yourself for them. Be willing to die for them. Sacrifice for them. I want to say this. Love in the Bible is, let me take it to 1 John. Is 1 John again, and you hopefully keep your finger there. 1 John 4. Love is usually a verb in the Bible, not always, but it's usually a verb, not a noun. In case you went to public schools, a verb is an action. Okay? A noun is a person, place, or thing. Okay? Love is usually a verb, an action in the Bible. Let me show you where you have both of them in one verse. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love, that's a verb, one another. For love, noun, is of God. And everyone that loveth, verb, is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth, verb, not, knoweth not God, for God is love, noun. See the difference? Okay, so let me explain that to you. You have love, okay, you have a noun. I have love inside of me for this person. Now you've got to make it a verb. I'm going to love them. How? I'm just going to love them. No. What are you going to do? You're going to give yourself for them. You're going to pray for them. You're going to help them financially. The Bible says in 1 John, it's a little later, it says, if a man see his brother in need and in destitute of daily food and say, God bless you, be thou filled. And give him not the things necessary for his body. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Love does something. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love takes an action. I love this person. They're hungry. I'm just not going to feed them. What? No, you not only need to love them now, you need to love them verb. How are you going to love them? You're going to pray for them. You're going to meet their needs. You're going to tell them you love them. You're going to give them a hug. You're going to go be there on their worst day. How are you going to love them? You've got to express it and do something with it. Give yourself for them. Do something. Show you love them. And that's how you influence people. When you're there. Because I'm not the best at expressing myself, but I do know how to love and be there for people. Oftentimes, people do not know how much I love them until their dark days come, and they'll find me there. And then they know I love them. That's oftentimes my best way of showing love. Now, I try other ways, and I'm getting better at it, but that's an action. You've got to be there for people. You've got to do something for them. You've got to show your love. You've got to make it a verb in your life. Then they know you love them. Then you get the power to influence them because they say, that person really loves me. There was a service. Christianity Today had come to the service, and one of the reporters in the back of the service out in the church, I was at in Indiana, and the pastor there was OCD about disruptions during the service. When I say that, he literally locked the doors once the church started, because if you came late, he didn't want you to disturb the service. You couldn't come in. You just couldn't. And if somebody got up during the service, what would happen? He would do this. He would say, sit down. I'm preaching. People are looking at you now. What are you? Sit down. Just pick a spot right there. You're fine. Sit down. All right. Okay, good. And he'd go back to preaching. That's what he did. And in the middle of the service, he's up there, and an usher is back there. And the usher is standing up and walking back and talking to somebody. And he just blasts me. He says, sit down. Hey, we're preaching. You've been here 20 years. You know, during the preaching, don't walk around. Sit down. Yeah, you. Yeah, sit down. And the reporter went back to him and said, when are you leaving the church today? He says, leave the church. He says, oh, listen, I've been going to church for 20 years. Nobody's going to put up with that. He says, listen. He says, I wasn't saving that man witness to me. And he says, my wife was sick in the hospital, and he was there on that day. He says, my kids were born. He was at the hospital. That man has loved me on my darkest days. We had financial struggles, and he helped us through it. He says, that man loves me. He can say whatever he wants to me. And so love gives you influence. And when you do something about it. Next, what does love do? It covers sins. 1 Peter, right back there, a little behind 1 John. 1 Peter chapter 4. Don't worry, I'm not going to try that. That was 25 years ago. People are a little more sensitive now. But don't get up and walk out during the service or to go to the bathroom. You know, you never know. Might have a bad moment. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 8, it says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity covers sins. You want someone to love you. You want to have the kind of love that influences. You better learn to cover their sins. You'll learn to act like you didn't hear something. You'll learn not to keep bringing things back up. Let me say that really clearly. Well, 16 years ago, I remember when you... Boy, if I could just get people not to bring things back up, half the marriage problems are gone. Well, you did this. Well, you did... You're not going to get along very well if I was you to keep on bringing up. And by the way, if you married a human, you're going to have things to bring back up if you want. Okay? Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, God can forget. He says, as far as the east is in the west, he removed our transgressions. God forgets. We can't forget. And by the way, that's a good thing in some ways. It's a protection for you. Otherwise, somebody says, hey, can I borrow your car? You know, the last three times you borrowed my car, you wrecked it. No. Okay? I'm not bitter and angry at you, but I can't. I'm not going to let you borrow my car. No, I'm not going to give you any more money. The last three times I gave you money, we bought drugs. Okay? It's not bad that we don't forget in some ways. But forgiveness has no animosity or bad feelings or getting revenge or I'm going to bring this back up to get them in their place. It never has that. Forgiveness has a clean slate. I know they did that, but you know what? I forgave them, and there's no bad feelings at all. They're fresh right now. Love covers a multitude of sins. When you can forgive somebody, not bring it back up, and not bring it back up, when you're in the middle of an argument, and not bring it back up because you've forgiven them, not put it in your pocket until you need it again, but you've really forgiven and you have no anger and animosity toward them. If you can do that, you'll be able to influence them. That's another way. Love covers a multitude of sin. Next, be filled with the characteristics of love. 1 Corinthians 13, and I have to finish quickly here. How we doing? We all right? Finding ways to influence people. How many of you are the people, you're not going to admit it. How many are the people who have no problem, you can weep with those who weep, but just come, you just love people, you just express, you can wrap your arms around them and hug them very easily. You're saying, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor, you're weird. It's easy to do that stuff. How many are that person? It's easy for you. There's several of you. A lot of you aren't admitting it. Several of you. And you're all going like this. You're not weird. You're normal. Okay? How many of you are the people like me who have to make yourself, I love, and make yourself do? How many of you like that? How many of you don't want to raise your hands and think I'm going to preach about you? Okay, but I won't, because I love you. Next, be filled with the characteristics of love in the Bible. First of all, 1 Corinthians 13 is all the characteristics of love, and I won't have time to elaborate a whole bunch. But charity, verse 4, suffereth long. What does that mean? It means you can suffer for a long time and be fine. You can put up with a lot. You can forgive easily. They can not be all they should be, and you still love them, and don't chastise them every week, day, and you can suffer long. Next, it's kind. Love is kind. It's nice. Next, it does not envy. Charity envieth not. This is the one I think I'll spend the time on because I just got a minute. Charity envieth not. What does that mean? That means when you love someone enough, you're happy when they're happy. That means that if they get something nice, you don't say, well, I didn't get anything nice. Amen? Well, how come he got that? I didn't get anything. Why don't you say, I'm glad he got something. I love him. See, we're so petty. If somebody else gets something nice, we better get something nice too, because it's about number one. You know people like that? You want to share a praise item? Boy, praise the Lord. I finally got my car fixed. Well, my car's not fixed. You know the Eeyores of the world? Stop. The sun doesn't rise and set and revolve around you. Be happy if someone's blessed. It doesn't envy. It's happy when somebody else is blessed. Instead of, why don't I have them? That's because you don't have enough love. Because you're just thinking about. You didn't like that one as much, did you? All right. Does not envy. Next. Does not push itself ahead of everybody else. Vaunteth not itself. It's not all about you. Next. Does not behave inappropriately. It says, does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is unselfish, is not easily provoked, does not get angry and get his buttons pushed all the time. Way too many people's buttons are sitting out there for everybody to push. You got too many buttons that are exposed. If they just push my buttons, well, don't give them your buttons. Keep the keyboard to yourself. Give it to God. And don't do that. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Thoughts are right about people. Don't want. By the way, evil is oftentimes has a connotation of damage or hurting. You don't want bad. You don't want people to be hurt and wounded. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It's all about truth and not evil things. It endures everything. Verse 7. Beareth all things. He can carry all kinds of burdens. You know, a wife that loves her husband, if he's paralyzed or if he's in the hospital, she'll stay there and she'll stay with him. The right relationship, a parent who loves a child will take a handicapped child and bear it because they love them. Yet you can't handle it because your wife doesn't have dinner waiting for you. Or because your husband doesn't buy you roses enough. Love endures everything. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It's four people, and it wants people. It's all about loving people, wanting the good for them. Charity never fails. So when we're shallow, we say, "Well, my spouse just doesn't want to change." How about my spouse needs me to help her? They're in the bondage of some weaknesses, and Satan's got them. But you know what? I am going to love them, and I've got to deliver them. So I've got to love them. You know, I'm going to say thank you, honey, for doing that. I love you so much. You know, thank you for just being there. Hey, thanks for what you did there. She can't cook worth a bean. You say, honey, you know, these are burnt offerings for the Lord. You know, God's very happy about this. And you find some way, and you praise her. Honey, thank you. And you eat it and don't have to say, what happened, man? Did you forget about the timer? No, you say, thank you, honey, for cooking dinner. Crunch, crunch, crunch. And you eat it. So my teeth need cleaned anyway. You know what? You find ways to just praise them and love them and express it. You know what they'll say? You know, that person loves me, and they wanted me to do this, and I've been mean to them and nasty to them, and they've still loved me. You know, I'm going to knock that off. Influence. Influence. But it happens the way Christ loved us and gave himself for us, that he might purify to himself a beautiful church without spot or blemish and present it to himself. And that's what we need to be like. All right, good. We better pray and get to the next service. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray that we be people of love. People who express that love, people who love enough to get influence. Please, Lord, help us to be people with that kind of love. Lord, a lot of people, love is this cheap talk. And something they say they have, but they don't do anything with it, Lord. But help us to have your kind of love that does things and expresses itself in such a way that eventually it gets influence. We've got to get influence, Lord. We've got to change lives by loving them. Lord, help us not to be trapped in hardness and trapped in not expressing ourselves and trapped in not being able to forgive. Lord, help us to have the characteristics of love flowing out of us so we can change people to make them more like you, so that we can make lives impacted for eternity, so we can defeat what Satan's done in their life and how he's wounded them. Please, Lord, help us to do these things and impact through our love. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, just real briefly.